Hello guys, welcome to the Blessing Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day 10 and 11. We're getting to the end. We're getting to the end. Although we're getting to the end with some big wins.
Man.
If you think about it, this time last year.
It was a bit mad.
I think this was technically our last day. Technically.
No, because TFO made the semis.
Made to the semis. Yeah. So we had one more day. Exactly. Okay, yeah, we had one more day. And now that was the only player that we had left.
And now look at us. Spoiled.
Look at us.
We're spoiled out here.
We've got women doubles final.
Crazy.
We've got women semi-final. And we got men semi-final. And most importantly, people that you guys doubted on top of that.
Yeah, let's not pay attention to that. Let's not.
No. You know me. I'm gonna call attention. Out. No. I'm gonna recall stuff. If you chatted crap on May 5th, 2024 at 3 p.m.
the specific
tweeting
dates.
Whatever.
No,
I will remind you because we are right here. Blackspin Global is right here, covering two semi-finals and one final, and by the grace of God, two finals. How about that,
man? Well, how no, we're hopefully three.
Another two. I mean, like the single final.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Single final. But no, what
a time, Lucy, especially man. With the theme as well. What a time.
Alfie Gibson's. Was it 75 years of breaking barriers?
Yeah, we really breaking the barriers.
Feels very apt.
It feels great. Mm. It feels good. Sorry. Hold on, guys. Some people were trying to get on the court.
Security doing their job, respect it. Whoa.
Basically, guys, when matches are done, the courts are empty, everyone gets on the court to take pictures. When it literally says only players and coaches are allowed on the court, but
mad.
People don't care about the rules. But anyways, let's talk about day 10 quickly.
Yeah, we should actually. That's a good point.
We took a day off. I completely took it off. I was sleeping the whole day by accident, man. You know, I went out Labor weekend. Shout out to the New York nightlife. I like it. I'm not going to lie. As a hip hop fan as well, I like it. But obviously, we had a great, great, great match. Leila Fernandez, the GOAT, Venus Williams versus Taylor Townsend and Katerina Siniaková. You were there.
I was
going to watch it, guys. I promise you, yeah. Some way, somehow, I woke up after the match was done. That was my bad, you know. Too much tequila, a little bit. But you tell us about the match.
It was a very like business-like performance from Katerina Siniaková and Taylor Townsend. Like obviously they're the top seeds, and yeah, it was a 6-1, 6-2 scoreline. Like pretty dominant. Mm. Didn't really give Venus and Leila much of a look in, to be honest. Like.
I had a feeling that it was going to be some. I felt like that type of matchup will motivate Taylor.
Yeah,
so I'm not too surprised.
I was a bit surprised though, Lucy, because just the way Venus and Leila have been playing, like up until that point.
Yeah,
they've been playing pretty well. Like,
but they're facing
taking out seeds,
the top seeds.
But this is the thing: like, they literally Townsend and Siniaková, they are like a level above like everybody else. Hence, why they are the top seeds. One and two doubles players in the world, like currently right now, and it showed yesterday, like big time. It was nice though, like at the end, like obviously Venus, this being like she's 45 years old, so we don't know if this is going to be her last US Open. There was a nice moment at the end of the match, like the players finished, like obviously shook hands and hugged and stuff, but then the crowd, like kind of led by Townsend and Siniaková, like applauded Venus, which was quite nice. So like they kind of gave Venus a moment, like to kind of do her twirl and like just acknowledge the crowd, which was cool. But just in terms of Townsend and Siniaková, they look on it, like that they're here to like basically do a job. That the match yesterday pretty much, I guess, summed up like where they are as a team in terms of just being just super dominant, like right now, like on the double side. So I kind of fear for whoever they play, basically, because they look just so strong. Of course we know now who they'll face in the final. the other semi-final yesterday was Jasmine Paolini and Sara Arni.
Asia Mohamed and...
Exactly, Asia Mohamed and Demi Schuurs.
Yeah.
And again, the Italian, they were the second seeds. They took out Mohamed and Schuurs in straight sets. I quite like the fact that the four remaining teams were literally the four top seeds. Mm-hmm. So one, two, three, and four. Which just shows like the
and they've all won Slam. So Katerina and Taylor in Australia Open.
Yeah.
Sara Arni and Jasmine doing the French Open. Elise Mertens and stuff like doing Wimbledon. So like it's nice. It shows the dominance. It shows the consistency. And see, whether it's singles or doubles, there's consistency in the WTA.
100%. 100%.
So, a reminder.
Women's doubles is in a very, very good place
for sure.
At the moment.
And it's getting more and more popular as well.
And exactly. And obviously, at the Slams, it is kind of like publicized more. But I do think people will take more of an interest in general just because these teams are like they're established now. Like they kind of play with each other like throughout the year.
Yeah.
So it's like consistent. Like you'll see them at all of the other like smaller events outside of the Slams, which is good. So. Yeah, I can't wait for that final. Townsend, obviously, they are the Australian Open doubles champions. So they've already got a slam in the bag this year, looking for their second slam this year. And what a story it'd be for Townsend as well. Like, she's literally been the story of this year's US Open.
Yeah.
So for her to, like, get her first US Open title would be incredible. Like, so, yeah, obviously, we're rooting for her and Siniaková, but... I'm looking forward to that final, which will be on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
Should we get into the singles?
Yes, sir.
Let's go men first. So Felix Auger-Aliassime continues his run. So he's through to his second US Open semi-final. Took out Alex Dimonor, the eighth seed, in four sets. Came up from a set down. So the score was 4-6, 7-6, 7-5, 7-6. The talk like of the match was like people saying, oh, it was like a scrappy affair. Like it was, but I felt like Felix played pretty well. Like
we've had worse matches than
definitely.
I was kind of surprised with the way people were talking about it. Like, I'm not saying it was the most entertaining, wow match, whatever. But I don't feel like it deserved the amount of slack that it did. Mm. Like I was very confused when
even the players were saying, "Oh, like neither one of us like played well." Like Alex said it after in his post match press. Felix said he didn't play particularly well himself.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, exactly. He was saying it himself, and to a point where even the Canadian press, when they asked him like, "What was it?" and he was just like, "I don't know." Like it was just he said he couldn't even really understand. It was just like sometimes. The shots were coming and he didn't know how to really respond well to it. So it was just one of those days. Mm. I feel like maybe, I think in general, a lot of the tweets I've been seeing a lot from fans this year, I think they've been underwhelmed by a lot of matches in general, especially from the men's side, specifically with the fact that, you know, the Alcaraz and the Sinner matches have been going like this. Do you get what I mean? So you have that and then there's other matches where I think there was so much hype and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they watch it and they're like, this is actually under. So I think fans in general, because that's not the only match, but because they're getting more and more of it, I think that match just got more slack because of it.
Okay.
But I think in general, the tennis fans have been underwhelmed by a lot of the men's matches, specifically the ones where it's like, oh my God, it's going to be the match of the... And then they watch it and they're like,
oh,
this is, you know, because the earlier rounds were really good. But I think as the tournament was going, they were not really...
For me, every single one of Felix's matches have been pretty, pretty good in terms of entertaining. Like, personally,
This one was the least entertaining for sure. But like I said, I don't agree that it deserved the amount of slack that people had.
Okay.
But all of his other matches were definitely, like, up there. But a lot of those people were not watching those matches. I don't think a lot of people were bothering watching Felix because I don't think any of them thought he would make it all the way to the semis.
Get this deep, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they probably thought, oh, yeah... Felix, yeah, he's going to whatever and just left it. But
I do want to give Dimonor credit, though, because I've seen him in person a few times and playing in person. I want to say maybe three or four times.
Mm-hmm.
And each time, Lucy, like, I'm always blown away by, like, the way he moves. Like, just so much intensity. Like, and he's not...
Yeah, that's what shocked me, his aggressiveness and his intensity.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever watched him in person. So yes. I think that's what I was like kind of like surprised with some of this, especially the first like couple of sets.
Like he puts in a shift.
Yeah.
And like there's basically there's very, very rarely will there be like a ball that he's not chasing.
Yeah.
So it just makes it extra hard for like an opponent to get past him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Felix today just was very patient. Mm-hmm. Like he had to be. And that can frustrate a lot of players, hence why Dimonor's, he's won a lot of matches this year. Like he's top 10. Like Washington was the title that I remember watching coming into the US Open,
mm-hmm.
where he took out Alejandro Davidovich Fokina,
mm-hmm.
In the final. That was an epic like three-setter.
I remember, yeah.
And that, again, just showed or like exemplified like his work rate. Like the guy is just a workhorse, man. He does not give up.
Yeah.
So going into the match as well, and I did say to you, Lucy, like I was confident about Felix winning, but after that first set that he lost was 6-4, I was like, yeah, we're going to be in for a match here and Felix just needs to just stay with it. And that's what he did, like, to his credit. And then, the remaining three sets were...
It was just up and down.
With momentum.
Because even the final set...
Tiebreak.
Alex was literally up, like, what, 4-1, 4-2?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you before it got so to it the tiebreak.
It just shows you how up and down did that entire match was.
Like it was a massive opportunity for both of them as
exactly.
well. Like, and I feel like that's probably going to sting Alex more because obviously he's the highest seed. But at the same time, like, bro, Felix has been there and done that. Like, this is his second US Open semi-final now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's been as high as top six as we've been saying for the past few days. Like, doing these pods, he's starting to like play like that now. Like in terms of that top 10 player, and I love that for him, man. Honestly. And then he's walking around with a swagger. Like, I say he's walking around with a swagger. What did he say in press again?
He said that he felt like it wasn't... He was like, you know what? People have been asking about that. That's just been me. But I think maybe it's a thing of like, outside of the court, we don't see that. Maybe it's just a thing where we see it more on court. So maybe we forget it as fans and viewers and stuff. But I still think there's way more vim this time, as much as he,
there's a swag, definitely.
That,
there is a swag to him,
100%. It's just different. Like, the first two rounds, bro, he was looking back at the fans that were shouting his opponent's name before he was looking at everyone else. Like, he was literally looking back at them. But again, I think it's because, obviously, we know him as, like, the respectful, nice guy and stuff out of court. So maybe we sometimes forget it.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing. You know, you're a beast on court and you're respectful outside of court. And I feel like that's... I like players like that. So yeah, but honestly, a massive shout out to him. What a great run. Like, he's been playing really, really well. That match is the only one where the level wasn't as
high,
the same, but he still played good. When he locked in what he needed to lock in. And that's all that matters. And who does he have next?
So they're still currently playing, Lucy. So it's going to be either Jannik Sinner, the top seed, or the temp seed, Lorenzo Musetti. And as we record this...
They are literally playing at the moment, and I'm pretty sure...
Sinner took the first set, 6-1.
6-1, okay.
What's the score in the second?
My US Open app is taking 10 hours to load and showing me the 2023...
It's on serve in the second, 2-1, Musetti.
2-1, okay, cool. Oh, now we're showing me.
So...
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. If he does end up facing Sinner, though, I'm really glad that he got the chance to face him already in Cincinnati.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, like Bublik said, Sinner is basically AI, okay? We were watching them practice earlier, literally they were just a quarter apart.
Not missing.
And guys, the difference.
Like a robot.
I was just like, what is this? Like, what am I? You're just practicing, bro. No one's even in front of you. You don't need to do all of that. There was no misses. Musetti looked already
rattled.
Like, bro, what is the point? And I do wonder if ATP players already go into a match when they know they're facing Sinner or Carlos Alcaraz and already
I think some do, definitely. Are intimidated already before they walk on.
100%. Which is crazy. And that gives a plus to Sinner. And I hope it is not going to be the case for someone like Felix. But
on that, I don't think Felix falls into that category. Just because... Like, he's been there and done it. Obviously, he's not reached, like, one and two in the world.
Yeah.
But he's beaten these guys before. And they're the same age as well. And again, yeah, he alluded to that too. Like,
yeah, yeah.
There's not that much difference in terms of, well, obviously where they are now, there is. But the come up, very similar. So. Yeah.
But that's why I'm excited for the match. I think some people, like, if Senna wins, I think a lot of people are going to be thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be a beatdown for Felix, which it could be. But I generally think, because of the Cincinnati match and the way he's been playing this US Open, even if Senna wins that match, I feel like it's going to be a good match.
It's going to be much more competitive than Cincinnati. 100%. Yeah, definitely.
So we'll see how that goes. But either way, he's made it. Oh, that guy is struggling.
I think it being best of five as well does help Felix, just because he'll have a longer time to like settle in, if anything. Mm-hmm. If Senna does make a ridiculous start, which he's very capable of doing. But yeah, with this being a best of five set match, like, Felix will have time to kind of settle himself and hopefully, yeah, find a way to work his way into the match.
That's what he's kind of been doing anyway.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's one we definitely look forward to. His press, because you stayed for the French version. Yeah, was there anything in the French version that was worth?
What I mentioned about the whole, like, you know, one, like, he couldn't figure out why it was like up and down and stuff.
As in his level.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
And what about your question? Because I liked your question as well about the confidence.
Yeah,
we spoke about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, but a massive shout out to Felix. Looking forward to that semi-finals, whether it's Senna, Musetti, whoever it is. It's one of the Italian.
Bring it on.
So yeah, either way, we're going to be here. So great. And then our following match,
Naomi Osaka, two-time champion, four-time Grand Slam champion. Let's say that now, because that's what she is. Taking out the 11th seed, Karolina Mukova. Straight set, 6-4, 7-3. 7-6, sorry. It was 7-3 in the tiebreak. Just what a performance from Osaka, man. Locked all the way in.
Do you know what's crazy? She's not even playing 100% yet. that's the maddest thing. She's actually not playing. I don't think people understand. Like, yeah, she's playing really good. Don't get me twisted. But she hasn't reached to that level that the real ones know about. The ones that are forgetting, that were yapping a couple months ago saying that she was done. You are done, bro.
Do you think she's playing better here than she was in Montreal?
That's a good question.
Because I do.
I don't think so.
I do.
I think she was playing even way better in Montreal than she is now. I think the difference is she's more locked in. But I feel like she was serving way better in Montreal. She was playing way better at the net in Montreal. I think the only thing that she's doing better here... I want to say the biggest thing that she's doing better here is the movement.
Okay.
The movements are improving each match.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I personally think Montreal, she's playing
interesting.
Better
Fair
than
enough.
Here. But because of her movement and the mental, and the way that she's quickly, like, if she's messing up, she's quickly, like, trying to wheel it back in and stuff. And like she said herself, she's just trying to enjoy the process. And, you know, she's having more challenges here. And she already said, like, she likes having challenges. She likes being under this type of pressure.
Yeah. I think that's every athlete, though. They love the kind of...
They do.
Yeah.
But I think with soccer, it's a different level. Yeah. And it's something... I think that has increased even more ever since she had her daughter. So, yeah. Honestly, it's just been great to see. This match was... It was good. It was a good match. Honestly, it was a good match. She was moving well. I was telling you just during the match, Mukova was serving better than her, but she was still like able to play so well, return well. And the winners this season, Osaka has been focusing so much more on her winners and been doing so well with them. Like, her winners, like, points this season has been up there. Like, it's actually crazy. Her shot selections, her movement is so good, applying pressure. Mukova just did not know what to do. She did look uncomfortable as well during the match, Mukova, at one point as well. I knew this match she'll be tired, because when I look back, all of her matches have been three sets. She hasn't won a single straight set since.
As in Mukova?
Yeah. Not one. from the first round to now, this is literally the only match where she was done earlier.
In straight sets.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh, this girl is going to be tired. Just make her run. And after the first set, she went medical timeout.
Because she got broken at five, well, it was four. Yeah. She was serving at 4-5. And yeah, Saka broke to take that first set 6-4. And then she went off for the medical timeout.
Put on the tape and stuff. And throughout the match, I kept looking at her. I think this girl's going to pull out. She did not look comfortable.
Yeah.
But then someone did say that apparently her previous match, that's what happened and she ended up winning. But I was like, nah, I think with Osaka's pressure, it's going to be too much for her. I think the only reason why she was able to even take it all the way to a tiebreak was because of her serve.
I think Osaka's level kind of dropped a bit in the second set, I feel.
I won't say her level. I will say more of like...
concentration.
Yes. Rather than... I feel like she was still like on a high, but it was just like... She wasn't making the right shots.
She got broken a couple of times. Exactly. Like, in the first set, she didn't get...
And then on top of that, breaking Mirkova was kind of difficult considering the way that she was serving as well. I think she was doing that really well. And she knew that's all she could do because she could barely move. Like the girl, I was looking at her, I was like, bro, this is looking serious.
No, she deserves a lot of credit because like, yeah, she easily could have retired.
Yeah, she could have been like, I'm not giving you this match.
Play to her for carrying on.
People who lost today and it went on their IG caption talking about how like, they had foot injury, Igor. But anyways, some people. people that, you know, they just fight through.
But no. Back to Osaka Mukova, man. I think Osaka's level, I'm just, like you said, I think she's playing in like maybe third or fourth gear. There's still a gear or two left.
This is what I'm saying. You guys have not seen the full Osaka yet. That's the craziest thing. Right now she's doing the boo boo Billie Jean bling or Osaka. Listen, when we get that Osaka from that 2019, when she was whacking the whole Serena out of this court, listen, that's when you guys will know. But yeah, I'm so happy for her. She looks good. She looks great. Her first semi-finals since. And, you know, I know she's a Japanese player. I know she's black. But you need to remember as well, she grew up here. So it definitely means a lot. So
in a way,
at all of the Grand Slams, this is more of a home slam to her.
It's the closest thing to a home slam, 100%. Exactly. Yeah.
It's just really, really good to see. Obviously, she is facing
Amanda Anisimova.
Next.
The number 8 seed.
Number 8 seed. And I'm not going to lie, Eugene, I'm going to need her to be well-rested. Her and Sabalenka to be well-rested. Sabalenka, you even had an extra day because your previous round was a walkover.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So really and truly, I should see you in that final. And I should see Osaka in that final.
Although Pegula...
And then we can get a big babe tennis final.
Listen, don't write off Pegula, man.
I'm not writing off Pegula. No one's writing off Pegula. I said I want that because I want a big babe tennis final. They're both big hitters. They're both great movers. It's just going to be really, and I think it's just going to be great for the sport. You know, you have the runner, Sabalenka won last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You have the previous winner and you have someone who's won this twice that everyone love as well. Like, literally, the US love
I'm going to sound like a player now. Like, I don't like looking too far ahead, one match at a time. But if that was to happen, I feel like the pressure would be more on Sabalenka. And when I say pressure, she's going to feel more, I don't know, of a desire. Not to say desire, they both want to win. But I just feel like there'll be more pressure on her to win.
Of course.
But I'm saying it will get to her, I think. The pressure would get to her and not so much Osaka. And that's going to work in Osaka's favour if we get to that stage, I'm saying.
I think, I agree with you, but I think as individuals, they might do... Either way, like I said, I'm glad that Osaka kind of went through what she went through in Montreal. Because although they had did two different type of finals. What?
I'm just thinking as well, it'll be an Evolve final. They're both Evolve athletes. Crazy.
Oh, yeah, true.
What a time for Stu and Carly.
Oh, right, yeah. Stu's eating right now. seeing right now. You know what? I might ask him for that chicken nuggets
let's caviar. Let's not look too far ahead.
I might ask for that and be like, yo, clearly the millions are coming through.
Let's not look too far ahead, Lucy. But no, okay, cool. Anissa Mova, though, let's not rule out Anissa Mova. She deserves massive credit for doing or handling business the way she did.
Hold on. Why when I say the final that I won, you're saying don't write? I'm not writing off those people. I'm just saying what I won.
No. I'm just, because, yeah, we should look at the match that's coming up, which is Osaka and Isamova. And I
even bigged her up and I said, yo, I think it's bloody incredible that you got a bagel literally just, what, six weeks ago at a final. And then now you're beating her in her home slam, straight set.
It's like vindication.
Like, and that is why my girl's moving the way that she's moving in press conferences and IG captions. Listen, guys, sometimes...
Listen, man, Lucy, you have to give players a bit of grace, man. But
I think I give grace. You think I'm too strict?
I mean... but no, just...
No, but shout out to Amanda.
Big time.
Shout out to... Iga, innit? Shout out to Sabalenka. Shout out to Vondroušová. I saw the video of her practice where she felt an injury.
Tough.
Yeah, man. It looked really bad. So speedy recovery to her, although, you know, her and BSG low-key have beef from last year.
No beef. But cleared the air, it was fine.
But you cleared it.
It's fine.
either way, the girls, like I said, when you look at the semi-final lineup, it's looking great. WTA looking amazing.
Solid.
There was even this thing, this post that the US Open did, where it's like all the girls that reached the quarterfinals, they were somehow in a slam.
Yeah, they've got experience.
Yeah,
they've got
experience at slam. Yeah. So it's literally slam champions or finalists.
Yeah.
So again, WTA and consistency is different from all of you guys. But yeah, I'm just glad that we actually are here, man, and we're about to experience matches and potential finals as well.
Mad.
That will be really great for us.
How was Osaka impressed? Because I didn't go.
Osaka impressed was great. Honestly, she was good. She looks lively. She did explain why she. I know a lot of you guys were wondering why she was wearing the purple and not the red, but you know, because she's been winning with the purple.
She's been
sticking with the purple, although she already won with the red, but. Yeah, and so she said that she did do a poll that a lot more people actually do prefer the red, but she's still stuck with the purple.
So she's superstitious then?
Yeah, she's like, I don't, you know, but you just never know.
Go on, superstitious though, Amy.
She just said that she's enjoying like playing and stuff. She's enjoying the challenges. Basically, all of the things that we just mentioned.
And you can see it. Like, that's the thing. You can exactly. actually see it on the court. Like, there's just she's just playing with freedom.
And that's why I feel like she's playing well at the US Open, yeah. But I think tactically, for me, I feel like she played better in Montreal. So
also, we have to shout out coach. You know, big shout out to Thomas Wotorowski.
For sure.
I mean, that's two tournaments and two deep ones. Like,
yeah,
come on.
I think he's helped her a lot with her movements because that's the biggest improvement that we've seen a lot. I think it started off with Patrick, in all honesty.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But then I think it took to a whole nother level with him because. I remember one of her press conferences couple last week, she was talking about how like he will literally draw where she needs to be placed, where she needs to be. And I think those type of things have actually helped.
She referred to him as a tennis encyclopedia, do you remember?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
He clearly knows what he's talking about.
So, yeah,
and like,
so it looks like he's gonna be here for a little minute. A little run. But looking forward to that. That's gonna be the second match on tomorrow. She did make a little joke and said, wow, they put the mom late. But yeah, because I feel like that Sabalenka match is going to go to a 3-set.
We'll see.
And Pegula.
We'll see.
You see, I'm not writing it off.
We'll see.
But yeah, but guys, make sure you tune in and watch the black semi-finalists. That's right, baby.
Let's go.
That's right, baby.
Let's go,
we
let's go,
at
let's
US
go.
The US Open. Dun-dun. Since I can't actually say the word.
Crazy. No,
catch
well done.
See you guys later.
Until next time.
Peace.